Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here waiting for you. So come on in, guys.
We're certainly grateful for this another day that God has afforded us, and we understand clearly without any doubt that this is the day that He's made. And so we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, there's so much happening now, Lady Kim, that many are confused and they are disheveled with all of the things that's happening. And I tell you, our city is just really, you know, having a hard time with this crime and all of the different things that people, they're reckless, not only in trying to take advantage of you, but in their own lives. We heard about a tragic accident that happened on the expressway this weekend as people were trying to make their way downtown or coming from downtown. You know, people were driving all sporadic and racing each other in a fire, you know, as they crashed and then endangered the lives of so many other people. But we have to be mindful that we have to pay attention and we have to be prayerful, and we also have to be attentive to what's happening around us and not just, you know, haphazardly go about our day, but we have to keep our head on a swivel, as they say, and be consciously aware of what's happening around us.
Amen.
And so people sometimes get disturbed and frustrated by the events that they see in the natural, but we know that God is able to sustain us. Mm-hmm. And if we do right by God, God will do right by us.
Amen.
And so each day that we have an opportunity to lift our voice, to give Him praise and to thank Him, then we ought not take it for granted, nor should we take it lightly. Because God has been good to us. He's been kind. He's been better to us than we've actually been to ourselves. I know that's an old saying, but it's so true. I mean, and so we praise Him today for including us in His plan. And those of you who are able to yet rejoice with me, you have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give God praise. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And so we're excited about what God has in store for us today. We're going to be in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. And Lady Kim indicated before we came on live
that you were going to do it all. You were going to run with the ball.
That this is a very interesting, probably the most interesting chapter that we've covered thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are going to be some principles here that will really apply to leadership, mm-hmm. and really will open us up to what God is trying to do in terms of setting in place the importance and the significance of those who lead and how they have responsibility and how He will hold them accountable for their actions. And so that's part of what we'll be looking at here in this 20th chapter. There are only 10th chapter, there are only 20 verses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go ahead and have prayer as people are joining. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that you can see and hear us as we prepare for this time together.
Amen.
God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we thank You for our lives at this very moment. We thank You for Your peace, Your power, Your protection. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for Your forgiveness. And we pray now, dear Lord, that even as we prepare for this time together, that You will yet allow our faith to increase as a result of hearing Your word, and that we might be active participants in what we hear, not just hearers, but doers as well. So we pray Your blessing to be upon us. Bless each person that will engage in this time as we study Your word on this Monday night. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love You and we honor You and we thank You for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Give God a couple of thumbs up. Let us know you're getting a clear signal. Miss Myra, are we getting clear through? Okay, a clear signal. Sister Georgia, Minister Georgia, thank you so very much. The 10th chapter of Leviticus. But before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about what happened on yesterday, the experience that we had in worship, and another high time in the Lord, and a very active day on yesterday.
Amen. But before we go there, can I say one thing?
Yes.
I want to say thank you to all the members of ATOP for Big Mama Murray's Soul Food. I neglected to say that on yesterday at the end of service because we had so many announcements that were coming forth. But I want to say thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. You all did an outstanding job.
That's right.
The pastor and I were so proud and pleased to, because we know that you all let your light shine. And so when you let your light shine, it's not only a reflection on us, but it reflects the light of God. And so we thank you for reflecting the beautiful lights that shine bright from ATOP. And you are a top of your game.
That's right.
On
that's
Big
right.
Mama Murray's Soul Food. Not only was the food delicious and off the chain, the food came pouring in. There was there's always concern about will we have enough food?
Right.
Well, did we have enough food?
More than enough, Lord.
More than enough.
That's right.
And so we thank God for you and for your participation and for those who helped in any way that you helped. We are thankful.
That's right.
And the people in Birmingham are still talking about and raving about the good food and the fellowship, the good fellowship that they had at ATOP. So thank you.
And Lady Kim, I went down to Birmingham. Many of the members, don't know this, that last week I went down on Wednesday and spent the night and stayed and came back Thursday, taking care of some business there, and spent the day with Dr. Wesley. And as we were talking about the events on last Sunday, and also about how much the people enjoyed their visit here, and even looking at how we can, we're setting some dates for when we would go down there. But it's a great fellowship, and I don't know, they just, they're just so excited when they come, and they always commend ATOP for the hospitality as well as for the excellent service and the worship as well as the food. And so we're going to try to keep this going as long as possible, and we look forward to a continued relationship with the Greater Shiloh Church of Birmingham.
Amen.
All right. So tell us a little bit about what the Lord was saying to you yesterday in the worship service, Lady Kim.
Well, your title was Don't Get Lost in the Sauce, and you came from Revelations, the third chapter, verses 20 through 22. And that's a familiar passage of scripture for many of us if you've been in the Word, in the church for any amount of time. And it says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord said, what the Spirit says to the church.
Okay.
So don't get lost in the sauce. You had 3 points. I think you only got to two of those 3 points. Hear God's voice, know God's voice. But you know, and then it said heed God's voice. But I think you kind of wrapped it all up at the end to include heed God's voice. But you know, one of the things that was amazing to me is that when you said, don't get lost in the sauce, I was like, okay, where is he going?
Where's he going with this?
Yeah. And then it says, you know, when you're lost in the sauce, then you're overwhelmed.
Right.
And you know, I thought about the food that we put sauces on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I make spaghetti, I like a lot of sauce in my spaghetti.
Okay.
There's nothing worse to me than some dry spaghetti. And so you make that spaghetti get lost in that sauce.
Okay.
And some people like a lot of sauce on their barbecue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't really like a whole lot of sauce. I like a little sauce, but it depends on the type of sauce. You know, if it's the sauce is a little vinegary and bitter, I don't want a lot of sauce. But if it's kind of sweet and tangy, then, you know, I want quite a bit. But I don't want it to get lost in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But you use
that. You
don't
want the barbecue to get lost in the sauce.
Right,
okay.
Right. So there's some things that I want to get lost in sauce, like spaghetti. And there are other things that I just, you know, it just kind of, like a cherry on the top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, when you're lost in the sauce, you as you described, then you are overwhelmed.
Right.
You can be overwhelmed. You know, you know, you're unable to keep up with the things in your life. Everything is coming at you left and right. You feel like as soon as one thing gets cleared up, here comes something else. You know, lost in the sauce financially and struggling on your job. You mm-hmm. might be struggling to get paperwork done, like me. You know, I can't think of another word to say about meals from the heart and food insecure people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overwhelmed. You could be overwhelmed at church. You could be overwhelmed on your job. Serving but feeling lost, you know, trying to meet the needs of other people, ministering to others, but feeling lost yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but trying our best to keep it together,
right.
our best to keep it together. So being lost in the sauce. But one of the things we have to hear God's voice, because that scripture in Revelation said that Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking, mm-hmm. and it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me.
Right.
So that means that you can't be so preoccupied with your problem that you don't hear God knocking.
That's good.
You can't be so preoccupied with your problem that you don't answer the door.
Okay.
You know, I know sometimes when somebody comes to the, well, not sometimes, every time somebody comes to my door, before we got our Ring doorbell, I used to peek out the window
uh-huh.
to see who was there, because I was just not going to open my door to anybody.
Right.
You know.
What's wrong with your daughter?
Now, she wants you to take her outside.
Oh, is that what that is?
No, I'll take her outside in a minute, because you can finish this.
Okay. But, that's your way of trying to get past that. No, go ahead with you.
No, but once we got the Ring doorbell, now I can look at the Ring doorbell and choose whether or not I want to answer the door, or I can answer over the Ring doorbell.
Right.
So
You
don't really have to be at home. So technology has really stepped it up again, stepped up our game a notch. But the scripture here says that if we hear God's voice, if we hear the voice of Jesus, open the door, he promises that he will come in. He will meet us.
Right.
But we have to come out from under the sauce.
Okay.
And be ready to meet God where he... And when we come from under the sauce, come from under the stuff, come from out from being overwhelmed, and turn it over to Jesus.
That's right.
Turn it over to him. Then he will meet us at the point of our need.
That's good.
You talked about know God's voice. You know, we a lot of voices are in our heads.
Right,
and you talked about movies and songs and radio and all kind of other things that distract our attention. But we have to know God's voice.
Absolutely.
And the only way we know God's voice is if we get in God's word.
Got to get into that word.
Got to get into his word. Because you don't know if you're hearing your own voice or the devil's voice or God's voice. And the only way you know it is that you have to be familiar with it.
That's
and
good.
How can you be familiar with it unless you spend some time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm just going to throw out a name. I can't remember the name with some of our new members. But, you know, if I know one.
If Jeannie called.
If Miss Doris called. She might say, Lady Kim, hi. I'll say, hey, how you doing? And she can start talking, but I have to say, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am not used to her voice.
Okay.
But if Dr. Qualise were to call me on the phone,
mm-hmm.
she'd say, hey, Lady Kim. I say, hey, Dr. Q, how do I know it's Dr. Q? Because I have talked with her. I've been in conversation with her. We've spent some time together dialoguing back and forth. And that's how you know God's voice.
Okay.
When you spend time in meditation and prayer, when you spend time in the word, delving into that word, then you'll know it's God when he's speaking.
It's confirmation that comes as a result of that, because you are in relationship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're that's in good. Relationship. And so you will know God's voice. And one thing about God's voice will never tell you to do something wrong.
Wow.
God's voice will never tell you to hurt someone else or mm-hmm. harm someone mm-hmm. else. God's voice will never tell you to do something that's contrary to his will.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, a lot of people, the Bible, in John 10:10, and I made reference to that, that his sheep know his voice and he knows his sheep by name.
Amen.
And so when we're in relationship with God, God knows our voice, we know his voice, mm-hmm. and he knows our name. And so when trials and tribulations come and we feel confused and overwhelmed and many times become disoriented, it's because we're not in proper relationship and we don't really pay attention to God's voice or know his voice.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And one of the things you said, that our strength comes as a result of our struggle, mm-hmm. and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Okay.
So hearing is a verb. You continue to do it. Mm-hmm. It didn't say faith comes by having heard the word of God.
Right, right.
It says faith comes by hearing. So that means you have to continue to hear God's word in order to strengthen and grow your faith. And what do you have to hear? You have to hear the word of God.
Right.
Not just
right.
any word.
Right.
I can give you a word. I can say words, if it's not God's word,
right.
it's not gospel. If it's not God's word, it may not be true.
That's
and
right.
I paused because I was thinking, and then I'm going to get off of this. I saw a man, you know how the people stand on the corner,
mm-hmm.
and they ask for money or to have signs and say, I'm hungry. This particular guy had a sign. I'm trying to remember exactly what it said. It said something to the fact that God says you should be nice to people, and I'll be nice to you, so now it's your turn to be nice to me, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there at the light looking at that sign and looking at that man, and it kind of made me perturbed. I wanted to roll down the window and say, the Bible says if a man don't work, a man don't eat. That's what I wanted to tell him. Because what he said was not biblical. Was it true? Certainly it's true. If he's nice to me, certainly I ought to show kindness to him.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I kind of got off on the tangent there.
No, that's
but,
good.
But, yeah.
Because many times people will, if you have not immerse yourself in understanding or being in relationship with God through his word, then you'll fall for anything.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything the saying goes. And many times we rely upon other people to give us what we should be giving ourselves,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to understanding the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important not just to allow the worship experience on Sunday to be the only meal that you eat that week.
Amen.
You follow me?
Absolutely.
And so
right.
we should even after Sunday, just like we're rehearsing and going back through, it helps you to fortify your faith and it helps you to fortify your strength when the trial comes, so that you'll have something on the inside that will sustain you during that time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned that example of that man on the corner because I felt like he was trying to play on my emotions, so to speak, to make me feel bad or guilty,
right,
so that I could reach out and give him
some money.
What he wanted.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
But that's not how God works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't guilt trip us into doing what's right.
That's right.
You know, we have to heed God's voice. And we heed God's voice by studying his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where heeding the voice came. You know, and it you also said that we're going to be tempted and tested and tried when our faith is challenged. It gives us the capacity to grow.
Okay.
So my faith was challenged yesterday looking at that sign. Well, it was this morning that I was looking at that sign. My faith was challenged because I wanted to yell out.
For the sake of time, you know, people are waiting to hear the part about the ear infection and about hearing the distinction.
Oh, is that what they're waiting on?
Yeah, that's what we're waiting on, the distinction between hearing and listening.
I got called up.
I used two analogies that was basically related to you in the sermon that talks about that. One, when, as I talked about the old country fairs, when the sheep would be entered into the contest, they would not only look at the age and the, you know, the weight and all of that, but they would check behind their ears. And if there was a spot there, it was an ear infection, they can easily be disqualified. In fact, they would be disqualified from the show. And so when we don't have our ears checked, then we can easily, it can easily set up an infection. And people have gone to ear doctors to try to determine the ratio, I guess, of their ability to hear in various seasons. And many times signs will come forth to determine whether or not. Why are you looking at me like that?
You must be, I'm not looking at you in
to determine whether or not their hearing is failing. And so I had been accused of, you know, my hearing failing me miserably from way I felt as to what the response I got. And so I had to get in a hurry to go check to see. And lo and behold, when I went there, of course, he was trying to figure out why was I in there, you know. And he told me, no, it's a decade. I really don't need to see you for the next 10 years unless something just tragically happens. And so we have to be mindful of making sure that our ears check. Our hearing capacity as it relates to the things of God and God's voice, because if we don't hear his voice and heed to his voice and obey his voice, we can easily be disqualified, not by man, but by God, because we're not living in a way that brings glory and honor to his name.
Okay.
And so the other part of that was the listening versus the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you emphatically told me, you know, in your Chicago South Side slang that I wasn't listening, you know. And so a lot of times we hear, but we don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we listen and we don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we not only hear the word, but when we apply the word and make it applicable to our situations, it's evident that we are not only hearing it, but we're listening, because an action should go forth as a result of what you have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's go ahead and move forward. And thank you for that review. We're grateful for each of you who on the call. Do we have any comments that we need to respond to, Lady Kim?
Not right now. We will have prayer requests and praise report at the end, and Sister Valerie Rankins has lifted up a prayer request.
Okay. And somebody said it's called selective hearing. You know, you hear what you want to hear. And you can hear the same thing so much till you don't really respond in the positive or in the affirmative in terms of doing something to change the situation. But we're in the 10th chapter of Leviticus, and thank each of you for being on tonight and being a part of this study. This is one of the most interesting chapters, as Lady Kim already indicated, that we have read thus far. And I think it has to do with the response to what happens when you break the law of God. And I know we might have some different titles for this particular chapter. One has to do with instructions for the priest and how important it is for them to stay on point in terms of following God's instruction and direction. But let me just share a little bit of this, because the situation was being established during this time in Leviticus, where Moses was working with Aaron and his sons to set up precedents in terms of how the children of Israel would respond to the various offerings that we've already talked about. And then it was a responsibility upon the priest in his sons and how they were to respond in terms of their leadership so that the people would get a clear signal from them in terms of their obedience, thus leading to the people's obedience to what God was trying to establish. And so they were in the emphasis stages, if you will, of setting up patterns of operation. I think that would be a good way of saying that. And one of the things that that is clear here as you read these 20 verses, if God's law is compromised from the beginning, then things would begin to shift and it can easily go off the tracks. Because the leaders have a responsibility to set themselves in a way, in a place, and in a position that is in direct relationship with what God is trying to establish. And if they go off the rail in terms of what they are doing and it's not matching what God requires, we talk about how our belief ought to match our obedience to the things of God. What we believe about God should be lined up with our actions toward God. And so we'll find that this principle kind of came in, and it was a challenge to these two priests that we have here. I believe they were priests, weren't they?
Yes, they were the priests, Aaron's sons.
And how something happened, and it's not clear exactly what it was, but it put me back in reference to, you remember when in the first century church, when Ananias and Sapphira, they decided that they were going to take the pledge, they were going to do what God required. And then they secretly decided that they were going to do something different. And as a result of that, it was a compromise in the leadership, and God had to set a standard. And he did that then, just like he did here in the 10th chapter, in terms of how leaders cannot just say one thing and do something else different. Right. They have to follow the process so that others will see that this is what God requires of us, you know. And it's not, we're not exempt from setting that process in motion as leaders. It does not exempt us from living that out to the fullest.
And God has set down specific orders for how he wanted things done.
That's right.
And Aaron's two sons disobeyed God's orders.
Right.
And as a result, they had to pay the consequences.
Right.
And so this is what's going to be going on here in the 10th chapter. Just a brief outline. We're in the 10th chapter of Leviticus, verses 1 through 7. The Lord kills two of Aaron's sons,
right.
Nadab and Abihu. And then verses 8 through 11, God speaks to Aaron. And we're going to talk about that. And then verses 12 through 20, Moses speaks to Aaron.
Right.
So that's kind of a little outline of the 10th chapter.
Can you go over that again, that outline?
Yes. Verses 1 through 7, the Lord kills Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu. In verses 8 through 11, God speaks to Aaron. And in verses 12 through 20, Moses speaks to Aaron, and we'll talk specifically about what God and Moses talked about and what happened to Nadab and Abihu.
Okay. All right. So that's the 10th chapter, just a summary review, kind of setting up everything. Are you ready to go ahead, and how are you going to break this out in terms of your reading?
1 through 7.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Miss Pam Trower, it's been a long time. All right. Leviticus 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord as he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before the Lord and killed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, 'I and my will, not their own, will be acknowledged as hallowed by those who came near me, and before all the people, I will be honored.' and Aaron said nothing. Moses called Mishael and Asaphlam, son of Iziel, uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they drew near and carried them in their under tunics, stripped of their priestly vestments, out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses and Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, the father and brothers of the two priests of whom God had slain for offering false fire, did not uncover their heads or let their hair go loose or tear your clothes, lest you die also, and lest God's wrath should come upon all the congregation. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tent of meetings, lest you die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. And they did according to Moses' word. That was the first seven verses of the 10th chapter.
Okay, all right. So just kind of in your own words, tell us what's going on here with Aaron's two sons and why the Lord no doubt killed them right there on the spot.
Well, Nadab and Abihu entered the tabernacle and offered an incense sacrifice to the Lord. But God was displeased with their actions because they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And so Moses was given specific orders on how they were to present offerings to God. And that's all we've been talking about since we've been in Leviticus. And here they come in and they take their own, you know.
They're going to do what they want to do.
They did what they wanted to do. And as a result, fire came from the Lord and killed Aaron's two sons. Mm-hmm. And Moses asked two of his cousins, Mishael and Elzaphan, to carry Nadab and Abihu's bodies outside of the camp. Aaron and the other priests were forbidden from publicly mourning the dead, and they were told to remain in the tabernacle. So they were told not to publicly mourn the death of those two priests. They could mourn in private, but not in public.
Okay. So it was an example that was set before the leadership in terms of their disobedience as it relates to following the specific instructions that God had requested.
Absolutely, yes.
And so I think part of what we should take from this is that we have a responsibility to be consistent and obedient to the things of God. Mm-hmm. And God forbid that he start taking people out because they don't do it God's way and decide they're going to take matters into their own hands, as we see here in the text. And so this was a prime example, and God is setting the tone for what he expects. And it was in the emphasis stages, so he wanted to make sure that the message got across so that others would not try and duplicate what these two sons of Aaron had done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, some people might say, "Well, my goodness, that was a harsh.
That was hard, yeah.
That was a harsh punishment that God sent to them. That he killed them. He burned them up with the fire that they had set." But I think the emphasis should not be on God's judgment, but on the priest's actions, mm-hmm. that they were disobedient. Mm-hmm. And in our disobedience, we can expect to be punished also.
Right.
You know, or chastised for our sinfulness.
Okay.
And the chastisement is not to kill us off, but to make us better as people of God.
To correct us,
hey, yes.
God is not trying to drown us. He's just trying to teach us how to swim.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
And so we have to sometimes go through a chastening, if you will, of and a correcting on God's behalf. Well, God will chasten us and he will correct us to align us with what he would have for us to do. Mm-hmm. And many times it's a public chastening, like what happened here.
Right.
And so we have to be mindful of that. We don't want to try God in that capacity to see if he's going to do it to you, but or to us. But we have to make sure that we live this word out to the best of our knowledge. That's why it's important to get into the word and study God's word, and to have a proper relationship where we are being taught the word and grow in the word of God, so that we'll know what God requires of us in terms of not just being hearers of the word, that's what James implied, but being doers of the word.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. So there's a lot implied in that, Reverend. And so God wants us not just to be hearers, but doers. And we have to make sure that we allow our belief to match what we say about who we are in God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
The next
yes.
section is verses 8 through 11, where okay. God speaks to Aaron. We're in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. Verse number 8, and the Lord said to Aaron, do not drink wine or strong drink, you or your sons, when you go to the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever in all your generations. You shall make a distinction and recognize a difference between the holy and the common or unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the Israelites all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by Moses.
Okay. Now, that eighth verse is right on the coattail of the incident that had just occurred. Is
right.
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you have a commentary for that? Because some biblical scholars even would suggest here, and we don't want to get this twisted, is that part of what happened in the temple with the two sons of Aaron lighting the fire is that they had been engaged in drinking before that happened, thus led to their confusion in terms of them following the law of God to the letter. Now, if you read that eighth verse again, and you'll see how he was really emphasizing the importance and the significance of not drinking as it relates to, read that eighth verse again, then you shall share with us your comments here.
And the Lord said to Aaron, that was the eighth verse.
Okay.
Nine.
Yeah.
Do not drink wine or strong drink,
mm-hmm.
you or your sons, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever in all your generations.
Okay. So it's an implication there, but it's not necessarily a correct tie-in. But that just came out of the off the sideline versus what was already happening. And he started talking about when you go into the tent of meetings, don't you go in there drunk. Don't go in there drinking. Don't be drinking, you know, because that's going to cause a confusion in terms of what I'm asking you to do as it relates to the requirements that's set before you. Mm-hmm. What is your commentary?
Well, the priests were to set an example of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so Moses, the Lord spoke to Aaron and forbid him and his sons from drinking alcohol before entering the temple, because they had to set that example of holiness and teach the people all the laws of God.
Okay. So what's the implication for us today as we look at that, and not trying to dig too deep and go off the rail with this one, but what do you see as perhaps implication here?
Well, I can quote the scripture, but I can't directly put my finger on it where it says, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay.
So, you know, we are not to overindulge.
Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not to overindulge in anything that we do.
Okay.
You know, anything can become sinful. But one thing we certainly shouldn't do is enter the temple of the Lord inebriated.
Intoxicated.
Intoxicated, inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's not any comments, any questions there? If not, let's move on, because the next few verses deal with what
Moses verse? Speaks to Aaron, verses 12 through 20.
Okay, so that's the last few.
Yes.
That's the last section of this particular chapter. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and see. Let's see what the conversation was between Moses and Aaron. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're in the 10th chapter, starting with verse number 12. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left, take the cereal offering that remains of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a sacred place, because it is your due and your son's due from the offerings made by fire to the Lord. For so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is offered, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are your due and your son's due, given out of the sacrifices of the peace offering of the Israelites. The thigh that is offered and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you as a portion or due perpetually, as the Lord has commanded. Verse 16, and Moses diligently tried to find what had become of the goat that had been offered for the sin offering. And behold, it was burned up as waste. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left alive, and said, why have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place? It is most holy, and God has given it to you to bear and take away the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Before the blood of it was not brought within the holy place, you should indeed have eaten the flesh of it in the holy places I commanded. But Aaron said to Moses, behold, this very day in which they have obediently offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, such terrible calamities have befallen me and them. If I and they had eaten the most holy sin offering today, humbled as we have been by the sin of our kinsmen and God's judgment upon them, would it have been acceptable in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, he was pacified.
Wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
So this conversation really centers around just making sure and being in unison with what is required of God. What is your commentary kind of summarize around those?
It talked about how Moses reminded Aaron and his sons to complete their daily offerings in the manner that God had prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was angry at Aaron, at Aaron's other sons,
right,
Eleazar and Ithamar, because they had not eaten most of the goat used for the sin offering. See, they were supposed to consume that offering within that same day.
Right.
And once their brothers were consumed by fire, they were grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also told not to show their grief publicly. But if you lose, say you lost two of your brothers,
mm-hmm,
tragically like that, you know, they weren't able to eat.
Right.
You know, and that's what Aaron said. Aaron told Moses he had not thought it inappropriate to eat the meat of the sin offering, considering the events of that day. And after hearing his explanation, Moses agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Moses said, yeah, that was a tragic thing that happened to your sons. And, you know, I can understand why your other
right.
sons are grieving and they cannot eat. And so that's, I think that was where the explanation ended, that Moses agreed with what Aaron had said.
Okay, all right. Well, that's pretty much wrapping up this whole 10th chapter, is that right?
Yes.
And so it's an interesting chapter in that it shows us the do's and the don'ts. You can use that as, and it also helps us understand how important leadership is in terms of setting the tone for what God requires and what is expected of us, so that people will have a model, an example to follow that's prescribed by God. Mm-hmm. And so there are several things that can lead people to go astray. And one of the things can be their lack of patience in terms of fulfilling the obligation that God has set in motion for them. And then trying to do things on their own outside of what God requires of them to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one of the lessons I think we can learn here is that we may promise God that we're going to leave sin behind, only to find ourselves a victim of it once again. Mm-hmm. You know, we leave that sinful life, and, you know, the devil knows our weaknesses.
That's right.
Better than we do. And when he comes at us, he comes at us
in our weakness.
And so sometimes if we relapse or we fall back into that sin, you know, we have to ask God's forgiveness. We're often like Aaron's son, seeing the tremendous move of God only to put his plan in reverse.
Okay.
And so we have to keep God's plan. Keep going forward. Don't go in reverse in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that song that I think it was Donnie McClurkin. I think he said, "We fall down, but we get up."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we want to entertain any prayer requests or praise reports at this time as we prepare to bring this study to a close. It was only 20 verses there. Next week will be in the 11th chapter. You can go ahead and read ahead as we prepare to move through Leviticus. But there are some very definite examples set here in this 10th chapter, and it's worth rereading if you came in late in terms of this discussion. Any prayer requests that you might have already?
No, but here? There is a question.
Okay, what does it say?
How do we stay on God's perfect plan?
How do we stay on God's perfect plan? Well, it's probably a list of some of the things that we've already indicated here tonight in terms of our faithful obedience and consistent studying of the word, and then not just being hearers of the word but being doers of the word. And none of us are exempt from falling into different sins, if you will, and many times that happens as a result of our inconsistencies when it comes to being obedient to what God requires. And I think the other part of it has to do with, you know, the enemy will try, as you indicated, to entice us based upon our weaknesses. And we have to really guard ourselves and shield ourselves with the word so that we not fall into temptation. But if that does happen, then we have to make sure that we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. For the Bible says that we but yet confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us. And so we're not perfect. We're striving toward perfection. Did I say that right? Perfection, yes. And so that does not, God's grace is extended to us all, but that does not give us, that does not give us the right to just misuse and abuse the grace of God, because we know that there's a net to catch us, but we can't walk on a tightrope expect that God's going to be there. And it might be our time, and we are out there trying to play both sides and end up getting caught on the wrong side. You follow me?
Amen.
And so we have a responsibility to live our lives in such a way where the message ought to match what we say we believe about God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we have several prayer requests that we need to lift up tonight. If you have any, please put them in the chat. Of course, Sister Valerie Rankins asked for prayer. She's having pain due to her sciatica. So we want to lift up Sister Valerie Rankins. Of course, lift up Pastor Marquise McPherson and the loss of his father, Marcellus McPherson. That funeral will be on this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. in Lebanon, Tennessee. So we're lifting Pastor Marquise McPherson up in our prayers. We had several homegoings and celebrations of life this past week. And so we want to lift up all of those who lost loved ones that were on that list. We want to lift up Sister Cynthia Elliott in the loss of her sister. Those arrangements are still pending at this time. We want to lift up Sister Emma Burnett in the loss of her sister-in-law. That funeral was held in Chicago this past Saturday. We want to lift up Elder Christopher Paxton in the loss of his uncle, James Terrell. That funeral was on this past Saturday. We want to lift up Clebrion, our son-in-law, and our daughter, Tiffany Richmond, in the loss of Clebrion's father, George Oliver. That funeral was also on this past Saturday. And, of course, our sick and shut-in. We definitely want to keep lifted up in our prayers. We are so glad that Mother Roxy Briggs has gone home, gone to her house. Amen.
Yeah,
she's feeling much better.
That's right.
Amen. Let me clarify that. Released from the hospital.
That's right.
As well as Mother Elizabeth Hughes has been released from the hospital, and she is now at home, and we thank God for that. Sister Elnora Buchanan is still at a great Oaks Rehab facility in Byhalia, but she's getting stronger by the day, and
That's
we praise
right.
God
That's
for
right.
that. And we got good news on yesterday about Brother Charles Reynolds. He's making good progress and hoping to be released from the hospital real soon. But we are, of course, lifting up Brother Charles Reynolds for his strength.
That's right.
We're lifting up Brother Thomas Doggett as well. For strength. We're lifting up Sister Celeste Branch. She called and left a message at church stating that, she needed prayer for illness.
Okay.
So we're lifting up Sister Celeste Branch. And also we're lifting up Sister Minister Bumi, Dr. Olu. In our prayer. She requested prayers yesterday morning. We know the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we're throwing up prayers to heaven.
That's right.
On her behalf.
Absolutely. It's so good to see Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin Jr. on the call tonight.
Amen.
And we're always excited whenever he gets a chance to stop by and view. And so we praise God for that, Bishop. And we're certainly grateful. You know, March is a special month in terms of celebrations, particularly when it comes to birthdays. And Bishop Benjamin and myself, we both have birthdays in March. And so we know that God is going to continue to give us what we need in order to do what he has called for us to do. But it's so good to see Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin Jr.
Amen.
All the way from California.
Mm-hmm. Palm Desert,
Palm
California.
Palm Desert, California.
Yes, praise God.
On the call tonight.
And then there's another prayer request. Sister Jessica is asking for prayers for her cousin Kirby Strickland and the loss of her dad.
Okay.
So we're lifting that, lifting up Kirby Strickland and that family.
All right.
So if there are none others, we have lots. And oh, yes, we want to lift up Sister Kiera Webb.
That's
Sister
right.
Sister Kiera Webb, Brother Jimmy Webb's daughter. She was in the emergency room this morning.
Today, yes.
And so we are praying for Kiera Webb that all is well with her.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So will you close us out, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer?
Thank you, Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We pause right now and settle and center ourselves. We lift up our voices to you with prayer and supplication. God, you've heard the prayer requests that have been lifted on tonight. We have many bereaved, oh God. And so we ask that you would be with the bereaved tonight, God. Walk with Pastor Marquise McPherson as they prepare to lay his father to rest. Walk with Sister Cynthia Elliott in the loss of that sister. Be with Sister Emma Burnett in the loss of that sister-in-law. Oh God, we pray for the Paxton family as they've laid a loved one to rest. We pray for Tiffany and Clebrion Richmond in the loss of that father. God, we pray for the sick tonight. You've heard the names, oh God, that have been lifted up. We pray for Kiera Webb.
Yes, God.
We pray for Charles Reynolds. We lift up Elnora Buchanan. We lift up Mother Roxy Briggs and Mother Elizabeth Hughes. We lift up Brother Thomas Doggett. We lift up Brother Willie Watkins and Sister Lena Jackson. We lift up Sister Augusta Rushing and Brother Jerry Perkins. Oh God, we have many on our sick and shut-in list. We have many extended family members on the sick and shut-in list. And we pray for Kirby Strickland, oh God, touch her heart and give her peace in the loss of her father. And God, we're praying for Dr. Olu, oh God. We know her to be an overcomer, oh God.
Hallelujah.
And we overcome by the word, oh God. We overcome by the blood of your testimony and through the word, oh God. So we thank you tonight, God, that through your word, everything is yea and amen. Bless Sister Valerie Rankins tonight, God. Release her and relieve her of the pain that she's feeling from that sciatica. We give you praise tonight, God, for all that you're doing through Anointed Temple
Hallelujah.
Of Praise.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, oh God, for giving us direction and directive, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for blessing our pastor to see another birthday, God. We thank you for his life. We ask that you would give him longevity, oh God. We ask that you would continue to give him the peace that surpasseth all understanding. We thank you, oh God, that you continue to go before him. Be a shield for him, oh God. Make him above and not beneath, oh God. Let him go forward and not in reverse, God.
Thank
you, God, we thank you tonight for those who surround him and hold up his arms like Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, oh God. We thank you tonight, God, for the arm holders, for the shapeshifters, oh God, for the people who come and who rally themselves to make ministry go forth. God, you are a good God. And beside you sits none other. We thank you for making every provision for Anointed Temple of Praise. Hallelujah, God. You've kept us for 24 years, God. And we bless and we honor you. We don't take any month, any week. We don't even take a day for granted, oh God, because you didn't have to bless us, but you did. So we thank you that you allow us the opportunity to do ministry. We thank you for allowing us to feed the hungry. We thank you for allowing us to pray for those who are in need. We thank you for allowing us to meet needs. But most of all, we thank you for being a gracious and loving God who looks beyond our faults and meets every need in our lives. So we thank you tonight. We bless you. We honor you. We give you thanks, honor, and abundant praise.
Thank you,
in
God.
Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And thank
Amen.
God.
And
thank
praise
you for
God.
Joining tonight.
All right. Look, we hope you have a blessed rest of the evening, and we look forward to you being a part of what's happening in the life of ATOP. Hope to see you around ATOP this week, and continue to trust the timing of God in your situation.
Amen. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.